Praise God. Before I start, I also say thank you all. Thank you for all that you did during the anniversary. Thank you for your resources, time, energy, presence, attention. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for God is not unjust. Forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God bless you all indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay. So last week we were looking at the building, the home, and I'm sure that we were all blessed. How many of us were blessed last week? You have testimonies. Someone gave testimony on Thursday. You have any testimony or anything that struck you? Okay, Grandma, please come.
Hallelujah, para oh, agame bura leloye buru para leloye para pagara yeze Jesus onye ne mema agame bura leloye buru onye ne mema agama para leloye para oh. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I have a testimony of what God has for me again. The Lord has added into my family. My daughter-in-law put to bed on Tuesday a bouncing baby girl. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for his goodness and mercy upon my life and my family, because it's only one girl that we have in the family, which is that there is a favor. But now, there are three. Praise the Lord!
Praise God. But Adaize will always be Adaize. Hallelujah. So that he won't fight you. Amen. God is good. And when we see all these testimonies, know that God indeed is working. And if he's going around, if you tap into it, indeed you receive of his faithfulness. Hallelujah. So last week, we were looking at building the home. And then Pastor Esco mentioned so many things. And we ought to build on the things that he mentioned. The responsibility within the home is very important, and it rests upon everybody. Hallelujah. Whether you are the father, or you are the mother, or you are the breadwinner, or you are the child, there is a portion of responsibility for everybody. He mentioned that there are three vital ingredients: wisdom, that's for application, knowledge for formation, and understanding, ability to comprehend and translate meaning of fact. And he also talked about the secret of success is applied wisdom. Secret of success is applied wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. And on the verge of that, what I expect is that a new dawn, a new beginning would have been birthed from the messages of last week. Hallelujah. A new dawn and a new beginning. And when you look at dawn, it's the early part of the day when the sun is just about coming up, brightness is coming in, and a new beginning. But one thing you have to be careful about is that you have to fuel that dawn with the right words and with the right things. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to fill it with the right words and with the right thing, because you make nonsense of that new dawn if you are not doing the appropriate things to bring about what is expected. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It says, by faith, Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Hallelujah. It says, the worlds, hallelujah. Amen. They were framed by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Timothy, book of Timothy. So 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading the New Living Translation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It talks about physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Let me read the KJV. It says, for bodily exercise, New KJV, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I'm coming from Hebrews 11. I talked about the fact that the walls were framed by the words of God. I looked at this fact that godliness is profitable for all things. It says, having promise of the life that is now and is of that which is come. And then we look at James chapter 3 that we read this morning at Bible school. And it's not everything that we can repeat now, but we will do our best. It says in verse 2, James 3, verse 2. It says, for we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bear the whole body. It says, for we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man, able to bear the whole body. If you look at the Amplified version, Amplified Classic, verse 2 of Hebrews, James 3, says, for we often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body, to curb his entire nature. Amen. So if you're able to say things that are not wrong, then he says you're a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. Hallelujah. So for stability in life, you need to be able to apply your words properly. You know, some people say they are stable. They say because they are physically well built, they say they are stable. But that's not what the scripture says. Hallelujah. Abi? First says, physical exercise profits a little. So the fact that it profits a little means that you ought to have some form of physical exercise. Abi? Are we physically fit? Are we physically fit? Some of us. Huh? Somehow. Hallelujah. Can you stand up on that chair? Just stand up. And sit down again. Now, if you're going to stand up, you're going to stand up without touch holding anything. Okay, can you stand up and sit down? And then stand up again and sit down again. Can everybody do this? Oh, yeah. Grandpa, grand, don't worry. Every other person, everybody that has grand before his mother, no problem. Grandpa, grandma, no problem. Every other person, you're going to stand, you see, you're going to stand up without holding anything. Eh? Don't hold your thighs, don't hold anything. Don't hold your thighs. You're going to stand up and you have to be sharp about it. Mommy, don't worry. Mommy and Laura, don't worry. So you're going to stand up without holding anything and then you're going to sit. You follow me. Okay? You stand up. Mrs. Avitis, I didn't say you should jump. Sit, please. Don't hold anything. Your hands free. Stand and then sit. Stand. And sit, stand, and sit, stand. Ah, You are not following me. Some people are sitting when I'm saying stand. Sit. Oh, yeah, sit. Stand and sit. Don't hold anything. Stand. Your ones. Don't hold and sit. Stand and sit. How are you feeling? Stand and sit. Stand and sit. How are you feeling? Stand and sit. How many have we done? Stand and sit. Stand and sit. Stand and sit. Stand and sit. Stand. How many have we done? And sit. Stand and sit. Stand and sit. Thank you. How do you feel? How do you feel? You're fine. Is your body warming up? That's what you need to do every day. If you do that just 10 times in a day, you're fine. So don't say you have to go to the road and be walking up and down. If you do this stand and sit 10 times in a day, you're fine. Hallelujah. The Bible says physical exercise profits a little. Okay? Then the godly one does what? 1 Timothy. Are you feeling it? Somebody is saying whom on my right hand. First time I did that thing, I felt like going to take water. I did it 10 times. I felt like going to take water. I said, I'll be forming that and fit. Amen. Physical exercise, physical training is of some value, useful for a little. But godly spiritual training is useful and of value in everything and in every way. For it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come. Amen. So this physical thing that you have done, I've put so much energy into, he says, it does very little. Hallelujah. So when you look at your life, the aspect of your life that this physical exercise does anything to is practically very small. He says, but the godly one, okay? For godliness is profitable for all things. I have promise of life that is now. But godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. It has promise of all things. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. So we have looked at James chapter 3 verse 2 that talks about the fact that if you are able to use your words properly, then you are a perfect man. Colossians chapter 1 verse 28. My shoulder, my knee, my toe. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. Last week, we looked at wisdom. And then we looked at wisdom this morning. That is the right application of knowledge and understanding. So he's saying here that teaching every man in all wisdom so that you are gaining knowledge and you are gaining understanding. And you are applying it appropriately, okay? And then he says that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then James 3:2 tells us who the perfect man is. He says, can I have James 3:2? He says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Hallelujah. If any man does not stumble in his words, then he's a perfect man. So, if you say, is it possible for anybody to be perfect? It is not impossible. Because you need to be breaking things down so that people can understand. Hallelujah. It is not impossible. If it were not so, then God would not have demanded it for us. Hallelujah. So, he doesn't ask us for things that we cannot do. He asks us for things that has enabled us to do. So if you remember very well, if the story of creation, God's intention was to end up creating man, okay? But God started by framing the world. Hallelujah. He started by putting things in place for that man that he will eventually create to make use of. So by the time he was creating man, everything that man needed was in place. Hallelujah. That's who God is. And do you know what? Everything that man had ever needed, he created in those 6 days. So that whether we are 8 billion on the surface of the earth, or we are 10 billion or 20 billion, God is not creating anything new anymore. Amen. So imagine that Adam and Eve, or Adam and the woman, had everything that 8 billion people would eventually survive upon. That's what they had at the beginning. And that's who God is. So that we don't begin to think that God gives us tasks or things to do that we cannot attain. He says that if any man does not stumble in his words, then he's a perfect man. Okay? Now he says now that the worlds, they were, by faith we know, that, we are created by things that are not seen, not visible. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we speak words, I mean, the best we can do with words, or what we do with words usually, is to write them down. Abi? When we start writing down, then we say these are words. Hallelujah. So we say these are written words. Amen. But when we speak words, the spoken words, what comes across to you, you begin to form a picture. Right? And that was why in the morning when we were doing the Bible school, because if you do not understand what is being said, you will not be able to create the right picture. So that's why I was asking the technical team to bring the picture of a rudder, to bring the picture of a horse that has a bit in his mouth, so that we can understand and then we can flow with it. Because, you know, in this part of the world, I mean, you can see people riding horses and then they don't have bridge. And that's why you see that sometimes those things go haywire. They can't control them because that which you're supposed to use to control them is not there. Okay? But what I'm saying is that when words are being spoken, the one that is speaking the word has a picture in mind. And then he's trying to relay that picture to every other person. So what I'm trying to do now, I'm speaking words to you, and at the same time, I'm trying to let you see in your mind, or in to visualize what I am saying in words. Hallelujah. So it forms a picture. The same way those words form a picture to you, and begins to make, I mean, when you begin to join those pictures, they begin to make meaning or sense. In the same way, when those words go forth, they begin to form things in the physical world. Hallelujah. Amen. So when words are spoken, they are not empty. Hallelujah. That's why they say you have to employ the words you speak positively. You have to employ them towards a particular purpose. I was opportune to be in a seminar recently, and a well-established corporate man was speaking and saying that, look, when I was going to start whatever it was into now, he said what he did was he had a five-year plan. When he was a boy, he said he had a five-year plan, and he said his mother was speaking to him. His mother would tell you shall be great, you shall do this, you shall do that. And so he said he now formed the picture. And then he made up in his mind that at this age, I am going to do this. At this age, I am going to do this. At this age, I'm going to be married. And at this age, I'm going to be a millionaire. And then he said he wrote those words on the wall. Huh? And every morning, he will look at those words. He will repeat those words before he leaves home. And said those words, okay, those words that he was repeating to himself, anytime he stepped out of the house, were directing whatever he was doing. So each time he remembers those things, or he says those words, that, okay, I am going to make it in business. When he's doing something, and then he says, this thing I'm doing, how is it going to affect, or how is it going to help me achieve this business that I'm looking for? Once he sees that there's nothing tangible in it, he drops it. That's discipline. Remember, we were looking at discipline last week. Amen. Because when you create for yourself certain steps or certain levels of certain milestones of achievement, you have to be disciplined to achieve them. We have to employ our words carefully. Amen. On a lighter note, one guy, he was tired. Every time you get at the table, they would say, let us pray. And pray and pray. So, you know, there are some people that you shouldn't tell them to pray when you want to eat. That's why you shouldn't tell them to pray when you want to eat too, because when they start praying, you probably spend 5 minutes. That's why I don't like eating at the dining table. I don't like it at all. Anybody sits at the dining table and then let us pray. Someone will not pray. By that time, I will have finished the food I want to eat. So this particular guy, he looked at it and said, he now discovered that, okay. And I said, so he now wrote out the prayer and put it by the dining table. I said, God, this is the prayer I'm praying. So have you read it? Then he started eating. Hallelujah. He said, God, this prayer, please, this is the prayer I'm praying for this food. Hallelujah. Amen. So the words that we speak, because the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, that man was created in God's image and likeness. So if Hebrews 11:3, he says that the worlds were formed by the word of God, hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that in Genesis 1, that we were created in God's image and likeness. We can create our own worlds, hallelujah, by our words. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not, that's why it should not be strange to you when people tell you to pray, and when you pray, you see things come to pass. It should not be. You should not marvel at it. Some people cannot relate with it. That when you pray and just ask God for certain things, or ask God for things, and then they'll come to pass without you doing any other physical thing to help it. You get what I'm saying? So if I tell you now that, if I tell Mr. Sajay now that, Mr. Sajay, just believe God, pray, and all will be well. If Mr. Sajay cannot relate with it, he's not going to. If another person tells Mr. Sajay that, Mr. Sajay, please walk on this gravel 20 times up and down. By the time you see blood flowing, you know that God is answering you. If that's what you can relate with, you know that's what you're going to do. And there's no power in that going up and down on gravel, because it's not written in the Bible. Hallelujah. What he has said is that ask and you shall be given. Hallelujah. Amen. So God was encouraging us in that scripture that we need to employ our words, just like the way he employed his own words in the beginning. Amen. And let's not kid ourselves. Employing your words has two sides to it. Either you do it, employ your words positively, in that you begin to create things that you want to see. Say things that you want to see. Or you employ it negatively. So by employing it negatively, when you speak negative things, even though you do not want to see those things, because they are words, they will create and form whatever you are saying. Hallelujah. That's why you should know that nothing happens to us by chance. Amen. They are the things that you have employed our words to do that we begin to see. Amen. So in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God was there, and yet there was darkness and there was void. Abi? It says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then what happened? Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Hallelujah. Amen. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Next verse. And God saw that light was good. It says, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided light from the darkness. And then the next thing, God called light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide waters from the waters. And then God kept saying, and these things kept coming to pass. Amen. Every other thing that God created, God told the earth to bring forth. He told the fishes and everything in the sea, bring forth after your kind. And that's what is continuing. Amen. So once he created and he has issued the command, amen, every other thing falls in place. Because the word of God and the Spirit of God will come together and things will happen. Hallelujah. In James chapter 3. Let me read from verse 1 so that we put context to it. So, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also the chiefs, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by every small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that defiles the whole body and sets on fire the whole course of nature, and it sets on fire by hell. For every kind of beast or reptile or creature is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God, and with it we curse men. We have been made in similitude of God. Out of the same man proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Hallelujah. Amen. He's talking about the tongue. But what do we use the tongue for? What do you use the tongue for? Use it to taste. Mr. Sajid is going to eat manga soup. What do you use the tongue for? What is it? To speak. Thank you. What else do you use the tongue for? It's food. So, this portion of scripture is telling you that just like the rudder is used to turn a mighty ship, so the tongue, it says that just like a little fire, can when you kindle it, can bring down a whole forest, so the tongue can destroy the whole body. That function of the tongue is talking about is the function to weave words. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you lock your tongue and try and see if you can speak, you will not be able to speak. Amen. Or if you've ever had any problem with your tongue, you can try it now and see if you can speak. Hold your tongue down and then try and speak. You will not be able to. Because it is that organ of the body that is responsible for you weaving your words. Hallelujah. So if I want to say your words, I am going to have to turn my tongue in such a manner that that word will come out and it sounds as words. Okay? If I'm going to say anything, I have to twist my tongue in such a way that it will produce sound. And then you hear it. Amen. So, sometimes you have to close the tongue to the roof of your mouth for you to say a certain word. If you cannot do that, that word cannot come out. So, when he was talking about the tongue here, and then he says, in verse 6, he says, and the tongue is a fire. Okay, so in verse 5, it says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Why do you think he said that? He said it's a little member, but it boasts great things. You can use that tongue to change the course of a whole nation. Hallelujah. Just like Grandpa was saying this morning, so that they won't come for me, let me just not say anything. Just like he was saying this morning, you can use that. One sentence from that tongue, in fact, just a word from that tongue can cause problems for a whole nation. It can create problems for the whole world. Hallelujah. It says, he's a little member, but he can do great things. And then it goes further to say that, look, it's the same tongue that we used to bless God, that we used to curse. It shouldn't be. Employ your tongue to create worlds for you. And say, when you say you can create your world, you know that the worlds, in quotes, they are different. Because, I mean, okay, so for instance, all the grandparents, Abby, they have different worlds. Hallelujah. You can use that. Let me just use that as an example. They have different worlds. They have their world as a grandparent. They have their world as parents. Eh? And then they have their world as children to their own parents. Hallelujah. And in whichever facet of life that they find themselves in, is another world in their business. So you can see that they have different worlds. Okay? It says, by faith we know that the worlds were created, were formed by the word of God. So when God was forming the firmament and he was forming the waters, there are different worlds because you find different things or different creatures within those things that were created. You find the birds in the air. You find the fish in the ocean. And then you find land on land, different things. Amen. No? I think I've told you before. When I was in Aladra Church, we used to sing one song. We used to sing Ayemeje Ofurufu. You know the Tochi cannot know the how to translate that one. We used to sing one song, Ayemeje Ofurufu. Ayemeje Nisalele. Eh? That means seven walls in the sky and seven walls underneath. But we just used to sing it. I was just like 14, 15 years. We just used to sing that song. And we just loved that song. Ayemeje Ofurufu. Ayemeje Nisalele. Ountari. Ountari. Wonjubayi. Ele Dawa. Says there are seven walls in the sky, seven walls underneath the skies. The things we see, the things that we are not seeing, they are bowing down to you, our God. That's what the song says. But we enjoyed that tone. And then in 2003, I traveled to Canada. I left Nigeria for the first time. I traveled to Canada. And it was a very, very nice experience. That's the first time I knew that there are portals in heaven. You know portals? Baga, baga, baga. So we were traveling, and then the plane will rock. Then the pilot will come and say, don't worry, we just entered. He will tell you the cloud that he just entered, and because of the blaze. So I wrote in my diary, there are actually portals in heaven. So when you come to Nigeria and you see portals, don't worry. That's our own world. Even in that world, it's not that smooth. So when we got to Canada, we're going to buy... You know, we went sightseeing. We were going to buy... we were looking for a library, bookshop. We wanted to buy books. So we went to the shopping mall. And then in the shopping mall, we got there. They said, okay, if you want to buy cars, you need to go down fourth floor, downwards. You understand? You know, fourth floor, we are used to fourth floor, upwards. So he said, go fourth floor, downwards. And then he said, when you get to fourth floor, say, oh... at the seventh floor under the ground. Ah, I said. And then I remember that song. I said, you are going to the center of the earth too, because from one floor and then you are seven, and it was not stopping at the seventh one. So imagine how deep it was. Hallelujah, and that's the power of man. That the Tower of Babel, the story of the Tower of Babel was trying to tell us that what man can do, if man comes in unison, we cannot imagine it. And so that day, I was just remembering that song. I said, of course, that doesn't mean that that's the seven walls. But I mean that there are things happening that we do not see. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's saying that for every being in those walls, they obey God. Now, because we are created in his image and likeness, and I looked at it, every other creature, none of them speaks like the way man speaks. They will be making their quack, quack, quack. All those signs will tell you that they are speaking. Huh? But they cannot create their own environment. Hallelujah. Amen. If any other creature finds itself in an environment, can he adapt? Take the fish out of water. He cannot adapt. Hallelujah. Amen. Take the birds from the air. They cannot. Put the bird on the air and put it on water. Hallelujah. But do you know man can live on water? Or you don't believe? Just go to Turbulent Bridge. If you don't believe, there is close. Man can live on water. Man can adapt because he has the nature of God. And man can create his walls because when he speaks, you begin to see things happen. Mark 11. Mark 11:22. So the Bible says, so Jesus answered them and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the ocean, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Hallelujah. He says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Amen. This mountain is not Mount Kilimanjaro. If you read, and then you put context to it, if you go to verse 21 and 22, you see that I was talking about the fig. Anything that is not delivering, okay, or is causing an obstruction is a mountain. It says, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Hallelujah. So creating your world requires the right environment. Just like when we plant seeds. Amen. I know that our words are seeds anyway. So our words are seeds. Just like when you plant seeds, you must make sure that the environment of that you are putting that seed in is the environment in which it will thrive. Hallelujah. Amen. See, to build takes greater effort than to destroy. Abi? One reckless word and you just set everybody in different direction. So if people don't know what to say, that's why it's better to just keep quiet. And just keep quiet when you don't know what to say. Or if you're angry, just keep quiet. Okay? So if somebody says something that offends you, and you want to be that perfect man that was implied in James 3 verse 2, the best thing is not to say anything at all. And keep quiet. And wait until you have doubt's attention. Before now, when I was trying to control my mouth, if anybody annoys me, I will leave the house and walk down. I walk down the street. When I go down the street, I'll be looking at different things. I can see a dog. I'll not look at the dog. I'll be studying the dog. I'm taking my mind off whatever it is. By the time I'm done, or I just see some people moving, I just study the environment. And then I go back. When I get back, you don't need to talk to me about whatever happened before I left here, because you know that you're not supposed to talk about it, because I will just move on. Amen. Why? Because the words, if you're not careful, James 3 has said it, it destroys. So, the natural state of things, as I was taught in chemistry, is what we call entropy. Entropy is what you call disorder. That's the natural state of things, disorder. That's why when you get to land, you don't find the trees lined up like an orchard. You know what an orchard is? Where you have planted citrus fruits, oranges. You plant them in sequence and everything looks so neat. If you get a land, what you call a virgin land, when you get there, everything is in disorder. You see shrubs, you see trees, you see everything all growing at random. That's the natural state of things. Hallelujah. And when you want to bring order about two things, you begin to behave the way God behaved. When you want to bring order, you begin to order things in the right way. If you go back to Genesis 1, chapter 1 and verses 1 to 26, you see how God was ordering everything. He will tell, he said, look, he separated the firmament from the waters. He separated everything and told everything where it will be. That's order. Ordinarily, in the first thing, the Bible says everything was void and without form. That's the natural state of things. So if you put things in order, you have to take a conscious effort to weave your words about that order that you want to see come to pass. So when you employ words recklessly, some people come and say, but when you say something negative, it always happens, because that's the natural tendency for the world. Hallelujah. Disorder and negativity is the natural tendency. We are to put order in the things that we are doing so that we can see things done in an orderly manner. And that's why discipline is important. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, verse 23 says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. Whatever, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. If we do not doubt. Please give me, I think it's in James. A double-minded person. Give me that scripture. Yeah, James chapter 1. I think it's verse 6 or so. Give me verse 5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, he who doubts will not receive anything from God. So you have to do, when you are working with God, you have to relate with him with that stubborn, that's how I call it, it may not be. But you have to relate with him with that stubborn consistency of an understanding that he is God, and whatever he says, he will do. You know, if it will be out of place for people in my household to ask me for something, and I tell them I will do it, and then they come back and say, are you sure you do it? It will be out of place. If Mr. Sajiri asks me for something, and I tell them I will do it, and he believes that I will do it, it will be out of place for the two of them. Because one, some set of people are supposed to be conversant with your nature and your being and your person. Another person that you deem an outsider relates more with your nature than the people that are supposed to know it. So if in my house I tell them I will do it, and they begin to do like, are you sure you do it? Me, I will not do it. That's what happens. Once I say I'll do something, and somebody comes back to me and says, do this thing, I just say, you know what, forget it, I'm not doing it again. Because you don't believe. That means you don't understand who you are talking with or relating with in the first place. It's not my fault. It's the same way that God deals with us. So, because you are supposed to have a consistent walk with God, and you're supposed to be used to God's way, he says that I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says, Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we are supposed, and then, you know, Romans 15 verse 4, which seems like our national anthem here, is like everything that was written for our learning, so that we can have comfort and hope in the scriptures. So if you look at the nature of God in the scriptures, and then you are seeing Mark 11, 22 and 23, that Christ is saying that, look, when you pray, believe, and then you will receive if you don't doubt. And then James is also expatiating on this doubting. As long as you don't doubt, then you will receive from God. Doubt means that you have cast a shadow on that faith that you say you have. Everyone that has received from God in faith has done so without any doubting. If you take a look down, all the stories of faith we have in the scripture. If you look at the woman of the issue of blood, if you look at blind Bartimaeus, if you look at Jairus, every one of them, they were able to demonstrate that there is no doubt. The woman of the issue said, if only I touch the hem of his garment. His faith reaching out. And then it comes, so when you begin to do something, and that's why I showed you that movie of those gymnasts in this morning, that over time, so for instance, In the advanced countries, we call them advanced anyway, but now they are no longer advanced because they are doing things like they are reversed. they are doing things in the reverse manner. If they think a man is a woman, then there's a problem. So we can no longer call them advanced. But in the Western world, let's put them Western world, when they give birth, their children start all their sporting activities at the age of 3-4. So those gymnasts you saw, they start at the age of 3-4 because you have to build flexibility into your system. Amen. You know the other people that are very flexible? You know the other set of people that are very flexible? Thieves. Only. I've seen videos of somebody. They put, you know what you call those things? Burglary proof. Bars like this. That when you look at it ordinarily, you say no human being can pass through this thing. And then when they catch a thief, say, how did you enter? Because they didn't see any breakage. Then you take them to the window and say, I passed through here. And the people will say, no, we don't believe that you passed through here. Show us. And you show them how they really go through those bars. When I was growing up, there was a particular boy in our church. That boy, he stole, what did he steal? He stole guitar from where he was stored. You know these red bricks that are designed? And I think they cannot be higher than my palm. The guy removed two from the below, the wall, removed two, and he crawled in. And then he crawled back out with the guitar. And he put the bricks back. So when everybody went into the store to pick, they couldn't find guitar. They looked at it, there is no breakage anywhere. How come, this one I experienced, how come, where did the guitar disappear to? And before you get to where the guitar is, you have to pass through iron gates that are always locked. It is where the vicar's is. And then after the vicar's office, you get to the store. So in our mind, it is secure. So, you know how we know that? Do you know how we knew that he stole? So, each time he took those things, the day he was going to sell them, when he got to the express at Oremeji Agugu in Ibadan, that one that is close to Mufulani, you know that bridge that's close to Mufulani Woods Primary School on the express? That's the bridge before Iwo Road. When he got to that express, policemen stopped him. He had a guitar, he had an amplifier mixer with him, and a trumpet. Say, where are you coming from? And then he said, he's coming from church. He said, coming from church. Amplifier, mixer, guitar, trumpet. Take us to the church. That's how they brought him to church. He said, full blown guy. And then he could wriggle too. There's nothing you want your body to do that he cannot do if you employ it. The same way, if you employ your words properly, there is nothing your word cannot achieve. Just try it. You know, we hear these things often in church. Okay? So one time, I went for one seminar. It has nothing to do with preaching or anything. I think it was a networking seminar. And then they said, look, if you want to make it, write these words out and look at it every morning and follow it. You know what they're doing? Habakkuk 2:2. Make the vision plain. Write it on a tablet and run with it. The same one that corporate man told us that he will write every morning, look at it every morning and run with it. And he says, anytime he sees that what he's doing is not in alignment with what his vision is, he drops it so that he can eventually see. He says, he said, everything he wanted to do, he achieved before the time he set for himself. Because he was following that vision stubbornly. See, he says, eyes have not seen, nor has ear heard. Huh? Has he gone to the heart of man? What God has in store. Huh? You know, everybody stops as eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Huh? That's, and they make it look like it's a mystery. Please look, give me that scripture. They make it look like it's a mystery. Right? I has not seen, he has not heard you. What? No. Let's take a look at what he's saying. First Corinthians chapter 2. Are you displaying it? Yeah, I don't I've told you, when I was in school, they begged me to read. So I don't keep anything in my head. It says, for it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Everybody always forgets this part. For those who love him. Everybody makes it look like it's so mysterious that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. Go to the next verse. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his spirit. That's why it's no longer his mystery. If you look at verse 9, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, what God, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And everybody stops there. That God is mysterious. God is not mysterious. And I've told you, he doesn't send us on a mission that he has not completed. So what he knows that we cannot achieve, he does not set us on that mission. But this, he now says, but. So, is that but, this but is negating the fact that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of men. He has negated it. He says, but God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Amen. Meaning that if you are walking in the spirit, there is no mystery in God. Hallelujah. If you are walking in the spirit, you are walking in alignment with God, there is nothing that will happen that will say, I've not known. No. I didn't know that this will turn out like this. It won't happen because there's no mystery about it. You have that advantage of knowing ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't know ahead, it is you that did not pick it. It's not God. He says, what he has prepared for those who love him. And those who love him, he says, his spirit reveals it to them. Abi? For the spirit searches out all the things. Yes, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. So if you are walking with that man that knows the things of God, which is the spirit of God, you will know the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So when the Bible is saying that you will say, and you should not doubt, it's saying so because if you are living your life in this manner, following the Spirit of God in the things of God, you are accustomed to the way of God. Hallelujah. Now, you're not taking it for granted. Being accustomed to something doesn't mean you take it for granted. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the pilots, they are accustomed to flying planes. But they dare not take it for granted. Because if they do, they will make mistakes. So, in the work that I do, we have electronic library. So, assuming is this microphone that I'm working on in the office. There's an electronic library for this microphone. It will tell you about the green part. It will tell you about the cover. It will tell you about the diaphragm. I will tell you about every wire in this microphone. So when this microphone has a problem, it tells you, is the microphone rumbling? Then you go to the library. You check it, microphone rumbling. It will tell you everything about that microphone. It will download everything to you. Now, if I don't have that library, then this microphone begins to rumble. I will just look at this microphone and put it down. I will not be able to feel. I just say, we are going to buy another microphone. Now, the pilots, they cannot. So if you want to fix it, it gives you step-by-step procedure of fixing it. And one thing I've discovered, if you say step one, those things are very funny. If you say step one, remove, if you have four cables like this, step one says remove the cable on the index finger, this one. Then remove the one on the ring finger, this one. Then remove the one on the little finger, this one. If you don't follow that sequence, maybe it's to remove cable. You just yank it off. If you don't follow that sequence, that thing will never work. So you are taking for granted that it's just to remove cables. Meanwhile, it's not just to remove cables. It's about removing those cables in the sequence that the manufacturer has said to be done. The same way when you are taking things for granted in God, God has a sequence of doing things. Amen. And he expects us to follow according to that pattern that he has given to us. So if he says, whatever you say, you will have. That whatever you say you will have is based on the fact that you are not doubting. And you know what? Anything you say that does not align with his will not come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he understands our frame and he knows everything that we need. He expects us to employ our words along his will for our life. Amen. If the Bible says that, brethren, I wish you prosper body, soul, and spirit. Your prosperity is body, soul, and spirit. But the one that controls everything is the spirit. Abi? So if you feed your spirit on a regular basis and you align your spirit, it says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? So ordinarily, I mean, if you can relate with man, it says, it's the spirit of man that is in him that knows. So I'm the one that knows the next thing I'm going to say. Abi? Now he's saying that even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. The next verse. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. Amen. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. It says that now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So that when we are weaving our words and we are beginning to build our world, we are building it based on the revelation of the things that have been freely given to us by God and are calling them into being. So when we say there are promises of God, hallelujah, amen, or God has made a promise, that promise is of no use if you cannot materialize. Abi? What is the use of a will that they will never read? And the people that are supposed to enjoy from the will don't know that the will exists. It's of no use. He's saying the best way for you to access these things is, number one, you know them, okay? And number two, you ask for them and you receive them without doubt. Hallelujah. What's the next verse after this? It says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Hallelujah. Amen. But in words which the Holy Spirit teaches. Hallelujah. You see that you cannot access the things that have been freely given to you except you employ the words that the Holy Spirit has given to you to access these things. Hallelujah. So when we say that you employ your words, you cannot employ your words carelessly or not based on anything apart from based on the words that the Holy Spirit teaches. It says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's who we are. Our composition, the core of man, is spirit. And so when a man is born again, his spirit is the one that is reborn. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why Romans 12 says that you have to renew your mind. Because the mind is outside of the spirit. Amen. You have to renew it. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. So as the spirit teaches, then he gives you utterance and then you begin to speak. Once you know these things that have been freely given to you by God, you are able to weave your words and speak these things and they come to pass. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, it says, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He's not going to bless us. Hallelujah. Amen. He does not intend to bless us. He says, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Everything. So what is left for you? Left for you is to go back and search it out, aligning your spirit with the spirit of God and employing the words that the Holy Spirit teaches so that you can bring these things and birth them by your words. Amen. Hallelujah. See, people will ask, so why is it so easy? And I think I've said it. Why is it so easy when you say negative things that you just easily see them? Because the natural state of things is disorder. Hallelujah. The Bible was very, see, please give me that last verse in Corinthians that talks about the world, the human wisdom teaches. The Bible was very specific. I'm waiting. Oh. My head, my shoulder, my knee, my toe, my head, my shoulder, my knee, my toe. No, not this one. So it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Hallelujah. There is wisdom of man. Eh? And then wisdom of man gives you words. Hallelujah. That's why someone wake up and believe that because he can put one and one together, he has to always get two. He doesn't think there's a God in it. I was speaking with a lady yesterday. And lady says, look, I've been doing this thing all the time. And then, so suddenly, things looked like they were not going to happen. Said, said, God, help me. I need this to happen, this thing to happen. I said, you are ending where you're supposed to have started. Because you have taken everything for granted. You think that your human wisdom can take you far. So you started without God. And then when everything looks like it's not going to happen, then you suddenly remember God. That's not how it's supposed to happen. It is from God to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You start with God and then you end with God. If you think things happen, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches. Hallelujah. So there's a place for teaching of the Holy Spirit and there's a place for you to hear the Holy Spirit. When he says that the man, in James chapter 3 verse 2, when he says that the man that has employed his words carefully is a perfect man, the Bible, James understood very well what he was saying. Because that man has been taught by the Holy Spirit. That's the only time you cannot employ careless words. So I was saying that if you say something negative and it comes to pass, it's because it's a natural state. It will just always want to go the negative way. Things will just always want to go the negative way. Amen. So you get to an office. And then they say, your file is not here. You'll be laughing. Your file is not here. Why is your file not here? I think when I was going to, when I wrote my, what do you call it? SSE exam. Okay? And they said, go to school and check. When my mother got to school, they told my mother, your son's result is not here. Why is he not here? My mother said, okay, no problem. So, that's why I just thank God for mothers. There and then, it was 10 a.m. My mother left Ibadan and came to Waik office in Lagos. And then she got there, she couldn't find a way in. But suddenly she remembered the colleague and then she called. I said, look, one of us works here. Get me that person. So they got in touch with their friend that works there. And the guy said, okay, don't worry. I will check. You go back to Ibadan. I'll check and let you know what has happened to his result. Meanwhile, I needed that result to travel to Australia. To travel to Australia for international to go and study. So all of you think that this country has not progressed. We have progressed. We have gone far in this country. So the man went in, saw the result, quite all right, wrote it out on paper, and then put it and sent it by speed post to Ibadan from Lagos. And lo and behold, the speed post did not come until after 5 weeks. A speed post. So now that you do something, they will deliver something to you 1 day, 2 days. You say, this country is not working. It's working, you know. It's work in progress. So he wrote it out. And then he wrote in the letter to my mom that she should go back to the school. That the result is in the school. That he doesn't know why they told her that the result is not in the school. Meanwhile, because, of course, she got there and then she left. By the time we got that result, it was 5 weeks after. So me, I'd already been giving up. So I couldn't apply for whatever I wanted to apply for because I wanted to go and be running in Australia. Otherwise, I would not have been preaching. I'd not be in Australia. So that's the way God works. So My mother now went back to the school. So what has happened to my son's results? They now started apologizing. You know what happened? When they were photocopying, you know those results come in sheets. When they were photocopying, the sheet that my name was fell behind the photocopier. So when they packed it back, when she came, the person was looking at the master sheet and was saying, I cannot find his name. But by that time, all my colleagues, they had known my results. So they would say, ah, you this guy, why are you? I said, I haven't seen my results, you're lying. Because they have seen it, because they have posted it. See, the things that we engage, so the natural state of things is disorder. So when you get to an office and say, no, it's not there, you have to employ your own words. That there has to be a reason, and this cannot happen. Amen. I've been in a pool of 300 people for an interview. 300, in fact, over 300. And then I saw one man. He came to me and said, ah, Drew, you are here. You didn't tell me you are coming for this interview. You have told me. I said, ah, I should have told you I'm coming for an interview. I don't have to tell you. You know who the guy is. So the office where I was working before I went for that interview, we assemble computers, desktop computers. We assemble it, and then we supply it to that company. So he's the one that comes to the company to buy on PR. He's the purchasing guy. So he came a day before to pay some pieces, but I don't have to tell you that I'm coming to your office for interview. I don't see any reason why I have to do that. So when he saw me there in the office, I said, yes, I've come for this interview. He said, you don't have hope. He said, there's no hope for you. So I was a bit disturbed. But before that, a week or two before that, in church in Ibadan, there had been a song that had been coming to my mind. And every day I used to sing that song. And the song just came back to my mind and said, don't worry, I've been singing this thing for over two weeks. God has a purpose for it. And then there were 300. So many people there. So when the guy finished, he said, look, this thing is on state quota. He said, there are 5 states that are involved. He said, okay, let me see, which state are you from? I said, I'm from Ogun State. He said, ha! Yeah, you don't have hope. I said, ha! It's not good to meet some people. Say, you don't have hope. No, there's no hope. I said, why? He said, see, this company is being battered by another company. So there's company A is giving back to company B. Now, the chairman of the board of company A is from Ogun State. The chairman of this company that they are forming is from Ogun State. Now, they will give the quota to government, governor. That's another one. And I said, so, then he said, then there's another person. I think the consultant that formed that company is from Ogun State. He said, so those 5 people have quota. So who do you know out of the 5 of them? And I started smiling. I just laughed, I laughed. And then I went, I was quiet. I said, God, this song, I've not been singing it for fun. No. Something must happen. All these people here. So, and then I sat down by the corridor. You know, you sit down waiting for me. And then you see somebody come. And then run after the HR person. Excuse me. This DG wants to talk to you. You carry the DG. Okay, all right, sir. I've heard, sir. What's the person? Okay, I'll collect this. So the different director generals were calling that morning that this is my candidate. See, God goes ahead of us because he has a plan. I has not seen. He has not heard. Does he enter the heart of man? What he has in store for those who love him. What he has revealed to us by his spirit. All I knew was that no matter how many they were, I would be singled out. So when I went in for the interview, I sat down. They were interviewing 5 of us at the same time. I sat down. I was looking at them. There was about 7 people on the panel. I've never seen that panel before. 7 people. So the first one, they asked him. The first one was even one of them. He was serving there. It was one of their children. They were just waking up to the guy. He said, you have served there. You want to come and collect our money again. We don't want to see you again. So that one, in my mind, I said, okay, this one has a quota. The next one, that one, I knew that it's not their candidate. The next one, he said, okay, you say you work in a computer firm. How do you repair a motherboard? I was like, well, why didn't they ask me that question? That was the question I wanted them to ask me, because I know. So the guys started repairing the motherboard. I froze. That's what I said. I was going to tell the guy that, guy, tell them that we don't repair motherboards. We'll just change them. You know, that's what you do. So the guy started using his mouth to repair motherboard, and I was just laughing. Then they left him. And they kept dribbling around, 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 and then they left him. Then they came to me, and they said, young man, what's your name? I told them my name. They said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Ogun State. They said, where are you from in Ogun State? I said, I'm from Abeokuta. He said, do you have a king in your village, in your Ogun State, in Abeokuta? I said, I think they have. He said, they. I said, okay, they have. They have the Alaki of Egbanland. He said, okay. Are you sure? And then they started laughing. So all of them were laughing. I said, are you sure? I said, yeah. Okay, so you used to work here? I said, yes. I said, okay, thank you. And then they went to the next person. They went to the next person, and then they went to the next person. And then I smiled. I said, God. So these people are truly, truly, they have a quota. I said, but anyway, no problem. And I left. And then the following week, that same guy that said, you don't have hope. He saw my manager in the office. I said, come, tell me why that his name is on this list of the people that they have shortlisted. Ah. So my manager came to the workshop. I said, Muiwa, you did tell me that you went for an interview. This guy said, I should tell you that your name is on the list. Even me, I shock. I'm like, God, is it the king of Egbaland or the fact that I came from Ogun State that made, it's God. I'm telling you that the things that God has in store, except you align with his spirit. So 2 years after, 2 years after I got that job, I went into the office of the HR manager. By that time, we were palace. So, for you to understand what happened, when they employed me, I was one of the people that designed the ID card, formed the process of that company that they were giving back to everything about the company from scratch. And so today, I have that ID card that I designed. I didn't throw it away. I will show my children, that I designed this ID card. So 2 years after, the HR woman, we were just gisting, said, you this guy, you don't know what God has done for you. I said, what did God do? He said, do you remember your interview? I said, yes. I said, all of you were just having fun and all that. He said, you know what? You know why we're having fun? That before you came, we already knew we were going to take you. Before I came for the interview, we already knew we were going to take you. All we wanted to do was to put a face to your name. I said, why? He said, because, you know, I told you company A and company B. He said, because the man that was going to be chairman of company B said that it's this boy that he wants. Exactly. How? Because I don't know him from anywhere. He said, he told them that this boy that he wants. And how did that happen? The office where I was working, I thought I was doing menial job. That we had assembly, because, you know, BSC, you'll be forming big boy. I lie. Do what God has asked you to do. My other mates were doing things that God has asked them to do, which was far greater than what I was doing. I was earning 4,000 naira. Then they were assemble. Then after assemble, I pack it, carry the box on my head, then go downstairs, deliver it to whatever, and then carry the box to customer house, carry it on my head with monitor. You know those monitors that look like TV? It was that mundane. She now said, see, that chairman of company B knows the chairman of your company that you are working for. They are actually both deacons in the same church. So when my CV came to them, okay, the chairman saw, they actually went through those CVs. The chairman saw my name, he saw the company I was working with, and then he went to the owner of the company I was working with. I said, see this boy, I can see that this boy served with you and is working with you. There must be something about this boy for you to have retained him. Eh? You know, it's just like if you are working with me, for instance, and you say you are working with me, I have not resigned. You must be very strong. Someone like Kenny, you must be very strong. He said, for him to serve with you, and then you retained him, and he's still working with you, there must be something about, because my boss does not employ anybody that is lazy and doesn't do anything. My boss said, you know what? This boy, I can't give you anything. Say, please, I need somebody as dedicated and committed like that. That's who I need to work with me in this new company. So when she said they dragged it back and forth. I said that was not enough. The man himself now came to me and said, Joe, do you know how I employed you? You know when a man does something, he must form. He said, do you know how I employed you? I talked to this man, and we had a serious debate. And eventually, he succumbed. So, in that quota, in his own quota, he put my name. I did not know him from anywhere. And I happened to come from the same state as him. So, it was okay for him to say, this is my candidate. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't know him, but God knew. God knows me. Hallelujah. God knows him. Amen. His eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has in store for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But the Spirit has given. That day, I did not buckle. So I started smiling that this is the way God works. Anything you find your hand doing, do it well. The man that was owned that company, that the company I was working for that was assembling computers, when I went there to serve, he said he's not looking for coppers. Coppers are lazy. I now went to somebody that knew him, sent a letter. I said, no. I don't take coppers, blah, blah, blah. But you have tied my hand. I will employ you like that. When he employed me, they put me on the chair like that. I'll come in and just sit down. I won't be doing anything. I'm an engineer. I won't do anything. Then they will say, the driver has brought loads of boxes from Lagos. You, copper, come bring the boxes upstairs. And it'll be like 20. So I'll go carry one box up. Carry very heavy things. So those monitors. You know those monitors? And then I'll sit down. And I didn't grumble. Then he looked at me and said, boy. Then he noticed that if he sends me from Ibadan to Lagos, because he's a very shrewd man, he's very careful with his money. He will call the supplier ahead of time. This boy is coming, or this person is coming. Give him 10 cartons of this, 10 this, 10 that, 10 that. So when he sends some other people, they will come in the morning. They will get back to Ibadan by 4 o'clock in the evening, no problem. When he sends me, we come in the morning. By 1, we are back in Ibadan. What am I doing in Lagos? Who do I know? So when I get there, I tell them, this is what they said. I said he has called, and they do everything, and we're back. So after a while, the man said, when he employed me, after 2 months, he called his accountant. I want to increase this boy's salary. The accountant came to me and said, we will come. Which soap do you use to bath? He said, which soap do you use? I said, why? He said, it has never happened. Even the people that are permanent employees here, he had never called to increase their salary in 2 months. And that's how I was working and I was gaining his confidence because of the things I was doing. They were consistent with what we were being taught in church. And then, as I was going, after a while, when I went to this new company, it was because of the things I did there that God put it on the heart of one man or two men to align his vision for me to move forward. And from there, I got to where I am. Hallelujah. But I kept singing that song. I said, God, if there are 1 million people, as long as it is your word, it will come to pass. I need a change of environment. Why did I need a change? At that time, my father just died. And I was left to take care of a widow. Amen. And then I started laughing. And unfortunately, at that time, my mother was going to resign. Or she was going to retire. So I lost my father. She was going to retire. I said, on top, 11,000 naira. How will I take care of a widow? Amen. God, something must happen. And it did happen. Our words are based on the words that the Holy Spirit should be based on the words that the Holy Spirit teaches us. That is what is efficacious. And that is what will bring about results. Since when you speak. So if you know that this word is the Holy Spirit that told you, you know that when you say it, you will not doubt. Abi? You will not doubt. You know, some people used to make fun. Sometimes you say, somebody say, today's my birthday. Go to ShopRite and tell them give them my name. And tell them that I need to. And then everybody starts laughing because you say, oh, who are you, Dad? When I go to ShopRite, I'll mention your name or show them your card. You know that thing happens. But you know that there are some people, when you take their name to such places and give them their card, they will honor it. That's the same way. When you take God's word and apply it, it will be honored. Because there are words that have been taught of you by the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot take away your walk with the Holy Spirit from the words that you speak. If you will see a result. Amen. Hallelujah. So, this is the last one before we go. So that you know the way God orchestrates man's line. So when I got to this new office, they made me second in command to who I was supposed to be reporting to. So one day the man went on leave. And I said, I will do appraisal of 30 engineers. Me. I would do appraisal of 30 engineers. As I was doing the appraisal, I was appraising everybody. You have to recommend them, whether you recommend them for promotion or not, blah, blah, blah. I did the appraisal. And then that chairman of that company B was the one that did my own appraisal. But I was the one that collected all the appraisals. So when I saw my appraisal, he wrote it there that if we do not do anything to keep this boy working or make sure that his life is comfortable here, companies like so and so will pick him up and will lose him. Do you know that that company picked me up and they lost me? He wrote it himself. That companies like this, I looked at it and I claimed it. He wrote it and I was laughing. He said, companies like this will poach him and will lose his services if we do not do anything about his remuneration. And they didn't do anything about my remuneration. And then God, so one day, they didn't do anything about my remuneration. He said they would pay me so amount. They didn't pay me for 6 months. They didn't pay. So one day, one of my friends, lost friend, he just called me and said, "Mwana, send me your CV. I said, "Guy, I've given you this CV several times. Why are you calling me to send me your CV? He said, "Mwana, send me your CV now." So I now rewired my head. I said, "This guy doesn't talk like this." So I sent my CV to him. So that's why you have to understand now is now. So I sent my CV to him there and then. And that was the beginning of the change. That company, he was working in that company that man said. But at that time when he was saying now, I didn't understand he was working in that company. So I sent it to him. And then they called me. And you know why they employed me in that company? They employed me because of the training that this company B has sent me to. So when I told you I was going to Canada, they sent me for a training. And they never used it. But those people saw it on my CV. I said, "We need this boy. Bring him. Let us rise to our feet." Awards, the potency of words. Awards have to be words that the Holy Spirit teaches us. That's the key, the takeaway for me. They are the words that the Holy Spirit teach me. Those are be the words that will come from my mouth. And so when I am praying and I'm employing my words in prayer, they will be the words that the Holy Spirit teaches. So that it will be comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Because the things that we see were born out of the things that we're not seeing. So if we see the words come frame our words, it's because this has been the word of God by the Spirit of God given to us. Let's talk to him this morning. Thank you because we align our thoughts with the thought of God. We align our thoughts with the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. We walk most importantly in the things of the Spirit. And God will help us indeed in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. Thank you because we understand our words. They can go left or right. They can go positive or negative. But this morning we choose to employ them positively, aligning ourselves with the words that the Holy Spirit teaches. Not like the words of wisdom of men, but the words that you give to us, Lord, as we speak them. Indeed, things will happen based on your word. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Let your name be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.